I trust that you have gathered to worship. I trust that you've gathered to praise. And I trust that you're excited about what God would do in and through you as individuals, but also as a church the next few minutes together. Thank you so much, Alex, for leading us, being so faithful to lead in song. She hit two of my most favorite songs right there in the last two right there. Thank you so much for that. Let's go before God's throne in prayer. Our great God and King, as we come before your throne, we are so grateful that you desire to spend time with your children. You desire to have a close personal walk with us. And Father, as we dig deep into your word this morning, I praise you for this message. I praise you for this series of messages, Lord, that we've been experiencing. And I praise you, Lord God, for the work that you're doing in this place. For truly, we're on holy ground. You and you alone are to be worshiped, praised, and adored. In your Son's name, Jesus, we pray, God. Amen. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about what it takes to have an authentic, growing, going, and serving church. When we started this sermon series, I told you a whole lot about the sermon series, but I didn't tell you where it came from. As I met with your search committee and was talking with them about filling in for the month of June, I had no idea what I was going to preach. Absolutely no clue. But you know, as only God does, God provides for what we need for such a time as this. My family was getting ready to go to the beach for a week, and I sat on the back deck of this house overlooking the ocean and spent a whole lot of that week just going before the Lord on your behalf. And here's what I told God. I said, God, I know that this church is going through a time of transition. I know they're going through a very difficult time. And Lord, I know that they need to ask themselves some questions. And I promised you from day one, I'd always be real with you. Simply plugging somebody else in as your pastor is not going to heal some of the challenges that you're facing. You need to ask yourself as a church some questions. One, how did we get here? Second question I want to encourage you to continue asking yourself, is there anything God would have us change? To, you're already doing some great kingdom work. Please don't take that in the wrong way. But is there anything that God would have us change to make us better equipped, better prepared, and to better accomplish the kingdom work he has laid out before us? So as I began to pray and God laid those questions on my heart, and I knew I needed to share those with you, and he would share at a time when it was appropriate, he lays this series of messages on my heart, and he said, this is what I want to use to get that discussion started. You're going to remember we've been talking over the last couple of weeks about how that the New Testament church, the original, the authentic church, that was truly growing, going, and serving. Remember we talked about the fact that the Lord added to His church daily what? Those that were being saved, right? We talked about the fact that so intense was their love that they found favor with all the people. I don't know about you, but that sounds like a church I want to be a part of. You remember we started out by looking at how the New Testament church loved God first. They loved God above all others. And then next we talk about, as we discussed last week, that they loved each other. They didn't just love each other, though. They loved each other as Jesus loves. This morning, I want to shift gears just a little bit, and I want to talk to a group of people who really should be out on the forefront of making absolute certain that these three components of an authentic church are not only in place, but that they never get out of order. For us, if we look at these three one more time, I don't want to pass a day without looking at them. We can never get these out of order, for loving God first must always be tops. We must love Him above all. For if we love God as we should, it's easy to love unbelievers and to love each other as He loves. We can never get these out of order, and we can never leave any of them out. For you can't love each other as you should unless we love God first. This group that I want to speak to this morning, that really should be out on the forefront, if you will, of making sure these things are not only in place and in correct order, but they ought to be in place in our homes, as well as in God's church. And of course, I'm talking about the men of Cornerstone Baptist Church. Gentlemen, one of the things that I affectionately call the men of the church is a spiritual shepherd. Let me talk to you just a moment about what a spiritual shepherd is. A spiritual shepherd is one that is called and set apart by God to lead his household. And the role of a spiritual shepherd in his family as well as in the church is not an easy one. In fact, it is very difficult. Being that spiritual leader is no easy task. In fact, it can be downright hard. Now, before I go any further, you know, sometimes Satan can use confusion to cause issues. So I want to be very clear, abundantly clear. So bear with me. Man is absolutely, unequivocally no better than woman. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. But gentlemen, hear me well. We are held to a higher standard. We are to be the shepherds of our households, the head of our household, as Christ is head of the church. A challenging position to be in. Nevertheless, God has put these responsibilities as the spiritual shepherd, the leader of our household, on us as men. Now, again, I want to be absolutely clear, so bear with me. You may be sitting here this morning and say, well, preacher, that's great, but I'm too young, I don't have kids yet. Okay, this message still applies to you. You may be sitting there and your kids are little enough they can't even talk yet. This message still applies to you. You may be sitting there this morning saying, my kids are grown and gone. This message still applies to you. You may be sitting there this morning and for some reason you just never had children. Listen to me, man of God. This message still applies to you. Now, ladies, lest y'all think I've let you out this morning. My prayer for you this morning is that this message will challenge you some different ways to pray for those men that are in your life, those spiritual shepherds that are in your life. Please don't take that statement lightly. So many times we say, well, all I can do is pray. Man, that's the strongest thing we can ever do. And I hope, my prayer is that as we spend this time together, it will be abundantly clear that God's men desperately need our prayers. I want you to amen this, unless you're with me, 100% with me. I believe that the downfall of our society in many ways is because we, as men of God, have sat down and we've fallen asleep at the wheel. I stand before you this morning not to declare that I am a perfect father, for my daughter would tell you that I am not. It's not my opinion day. It's not my editorial day. It is my heart's desire simply to share a message with you about being a spiritual shepherd that God preached to me first. And I pray, I trust that this message will challenge you. I believe we're at a time in today's world. I'd love to stand before you this morning and just preach a real good, feel-good sermon. And from time to time, God allows those. But I believe we're in desperate times in God's church. I believe we're in desperate times in our society. And I believe God's spiritual shepherds, it's time for us to rise up and be the men He would have us be. So let's get to it. Take your copy of God's Word and meet me in Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24, and we're going to begin reading in verse 14. Joshua 24, verse 14. All that can, please stand in honor and in reverence to the reading of God's inerrant and infallible Word. Now therefore, fear the Lord. Serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. May the Lord add His blessings to the reading of His Word. Church, you can be seated. God's inerrant, infallible Word here contains many, many examples of truly godly men, of incredible men, men of character, men that really desire to be a spiritual shepherd, but I can think of no better example than Joshua. Joshua was a man's man. A man of courage. A man that led the children of Israel into the promised land and took on all challengers. He was a man of incredible, superior integrity. The type of man that you could just trust with your life. I spent many years as a law enforcement officer, and from time to time you get yourselves in some sticky situations. So I can tell you, being able to trust someone with your life is not an easy thing to do. But you can trust Joshua. That's the kind of integrity and character that Joshua had. For an entire nation was willing to follow his command. He was a man of intense conviction. His faith never wavered. And you knew his beliefs. You know how you knew his beliefs? Not just by the words that was coming out of his mouth, but they were backed up with the deeds that he was doing. Joshua was an incredible example. At the ripe old age of 110, Joshua gathers all the leaders for one final message. He lived a full life, and he wanted the nation of Israel that he loved with all his being. He wanted to leave them with one final profound truth. So he gathers all the people together, and one of the most incredible characteristics about this message from Joshua to the nation of Israel is who this message, if you will, is directed to. It was directed to the fathers of Israel. Joshua, and with the leadership of God, undoubtedly had chosen the perfect place in which to deliver this message. He'd chosen Shechem. Shechem was an area that was absolutely surrounded by history. Abraham's altar was there. Jacob's well was there. There had been historic worship that had happened in that place. So as Joshua speaks, Joshua is speaking with all this history that is surrounding him. He's speaking with authority. He's speaking with this authority that only comes from experience. In today's world, we'd say he had the t-shirt, he had the hat, and he had the complimentary water bottle. He had been there and done that. And people were respecting what he was saying. You see, Joshua he'd been with Moses. He'd been with Moses as they led over 2 million people out of Egypt. For 40 years, he walked with Moses as they led God's people through the wilderness. For another 25 years, he led the children of Israel as they went into the land of Canaan in complete conquest. Joshua reinforces his appeal to all the men of Israel with the power, and the power that he brought was the power of a godly example. And Joshua, as he's closing out this message, he cries out, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." What a powerful message. Those words summed up his life. Those words summed up his heart. And listen, they ought to be the drumbeat of every Christian man straight up to today. "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." Joshua was not only the father of a nation, you see, he was also the father of a household. He understood those unique challenges that we face, fellas. He knew his role in the family. And he embraced that role with an incredible amount of zeal and without hesitation. And I would open this morning by speaking to you, my brothers. Do you embrace your role as a spiritual shepherd of your household without hesitation? Look with me in verse 14. "Now therefore fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We see Joshua here acknowledging his responsibility. But notice what this responsibility is. "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." His first responsibility is the spiritual welfare, the spiritual life of his family. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." He spoke for his family. He declares their intent. And see, fellows, that's just it. Our first responsibility. Our first responsibility as God's men is to be the spiritual shepherd, the spiritual leader of our households as well as the church. By now you know I like to kind of keep it real, as the saying goes. If the cable's out, we jump right on that, don't we, fellas? If there's something broke at the house, man, that's an opportunity to get the power tools out. If the car needs fixing, that's an opportunity to get all greasy and show just, you know, our manly prowess, as it were, in repairing something that's broke. If there's something that needs to be, let's say a new car needs to be bought, we'll research that thing for months on end until we're sure what we need. How much more important is it to make certain that our families are spiritually prepared to face this world? As a spiritual shepherd, it is absolutely imperative that they are. And listen, it's our job to make sure they are. But listen, we can't lead as a spiritual shepherd if we're not in close contact with the Lord. We cannot lead. We cannot be those shepherds that God would have us be if we are not in close contact, daily close contact with Jesus. So I would ask you this morning, do you start out each day prepared to be a spiritual leader, not only of your household, but a spiritual leader here at Cornerstone? Did you know the family was designed by God before He ever created the church? The family was ordained by God long before the church ever came into existence. The family is to be the educational unit for our children. Scripture declares this principle. Look with me in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Now notice Ephesians chapter 6. And you, here it is, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Gentlemen, it is our duty and it is God's command that we make sure our children, our grandchildren, all those little ones running around Cornerstone here. Man, one of the most amazing things I've seen since I've been here was last Wednesday night. I don't know how many young'uns y'all had running around in the backyard back here, but it was a bunch of them. Fellas, we have a role in that as well, not just to be left to the ladies. And one of the amazing things to me was to see so many young men out there working. To see so many young men out there working with those kids. You see, it's our duty to teach our children, our grandchildren, those nieces and nephews, to teach all those little ones running around Cornerstone, not only how to love Jesus, not only how even to be saved. It is our job to teach them how to have a daily walk with God. The greatest thing that a father can pass on to his child is how to love God. We've been talking about over the last couple of weeks how that love produces love. And when you openly show your love for God, fellas, that makes your children want to do the same. Like Joshua, we are responsible for setting the spiritual tone within our households. Men, listen to me. If you hear nothing else I say this morning, hear these words. No one on the face of this planet can influence your child for the kingdom of God like you can. As Christian fathers, grandfathers, uncles, as men in God's church, we are expected to be more than just good. We're expected to be godly. What an awesome responsibility it is that we have. It's more than just bringing home a paycheck. It's more than just putting a roof over their head, clothes on their back, and food on their table. We have a responsibility to teach them, to train them, to educate them in the ways of the Lord so that when they grow up, they'll live it and walk it. I firmly believe the reason we are, one of the many reasons that we are in such a decline in our society is we've moved away from that. We'll let everybody else teach but us. One of the most beautiful times I've had in a very long time was when I sat down with my daughter and I taught her what my daily quiet time looks like with Jesus. Have you done that? Have you done that? Do you have one? You got to start there first. Have you done that? I would encourage you to man, you got those grandchildren over the house. That's a great time to say, hey, can I tell you what Jesus showed me in His Word this morning? Let me tell you what Jesus said. Man of God, listen to me. When you do those things, you're saying, not only are you studying God's Word, not only are you spending time in prayer, but you're in daily constant communication with the Lord. Do you think your children want to know how to handle trouble and trial when it comes their way? You think that you want them to come to you? They will if they think, wow, my daddy hears from Jesus. The greatest thing we can teach our children is how to love the Lord. Notice Psalm 78, verse 5. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them. The greatest thing we can do is show our children how much Jesus loves them by letting His love shine through us, fellas. I remember vividly one night, warm summer night, Becky was working late. Sarah was very young. As most children are, Sarah was scared to death of thunderstorms. Her bedroom's on the second floor of our house, and our bedroom's on the first floor, and I'd already laid down. Came a thunderstorm, and I heard my daughter cry out right after the first lightning crack. She said, Daddy, I'm scared. I would love to tell you I jumped out of the bed and ran straight upstairs. That's not what I did. Very sleepily, very groggy, I rolled over and I said, oh, honey, it's going to be all right. Jesus is with you. Y'all ever done that? Yeah, that's what I did too. And she said, well, Daddy, I know that, but I want somebody that I can touch. And I thought, my goodness, I pray my daughter always sees me as God's love that she can touch. Fellas, we've got to let our love for the Lord shine through, that future generations might be impacted. But being a spiritual shepherd is not our only task, fellas. It's not our only task within our families. It's not our only task within God's church. Notice verse 15 one more time. And if it seems evil to you, serve the Lord. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Notice that last phrase. We will serve the Lord. Now I want to draw your attention to that two-letter word, we. That little word has so much meaning. Joshua protected, Joshua prepared, Joshua promoted the unity of his family. And fellows, we too must strive with God's help for family unity within our individual families as well as within corporate unity, if you will, within the family that is the church. I mean, let's be real. What we're countering here is a self-oriented culture. Think about the culture that you deal with, we deal with on a daily basis. It's all about what can I get for me? What is my job going to do for me? What is that relationship going to do for me? What is that church going to do for me? Are those not the things we encounter whenever we talk? We encounter whenever we talk to people. Let me just chase a quick rabbit right here. We always get it wrong whenever we walk into a church and we say, what can this church do for me? Because that's not the way God intended the church to be. What God intended the church to be was for us to walk in and say, what can I do to serve my God in His church? Men, one of the ways that we can lead in today's world, and man, we desperately should be leading, is by showing the importance of one body. Showing the importance within God's church The importance of one body, one unified church, one team, with not a single person that is on that team greater than the other. All respected, all having the exact same voice, all being respected and heard, all working together to accomplish the kingdom work, that divine precious work that God has put out before us. When Joshua spoke, church, his voice rang. It rang with unity. Me and my house. I don't know about you, but that sounds like togetherness to me. And I believe that's the reason the unity was there. It was because of Joshua's godly character and Joshua's godly example. His faith was genuine. His faith was authentic. And as a result, effectively, Joshua's family said, "Okay, Dad, whatever you say, we're ready, let's go." See, church, when the family is united, it can endure any trial that comes its way. Joshua was prepared to stand alone with his family. This wouldn't be the first time he stood apart from the rest of the world. 65 years earlier in Kadesh Barnea, Joshua and Caleb were the only two that said, "God before us, who can stand against us?" He was ready. And because of the example he lived, because of the love that he had for God that was demonstrated openly before his children, before his family said, "Let's go. Whatever you say, Dad, we're with you." You see, Joshua was a man of godly determination as well. He was determined that his family would be an oasis from the world. And that he would lead his family to serve and to walk in the ways of the Lord. Listen to me, gentlemen. It's in that type of an environment that spiritual giants are created. And I would ask you this morning, in closing, what kind of a legacy are you going to leave? So many times the things that we work for are the things that we park in the driveway, or the big house that we walk into at night, or the boat that we take to the lake, or that big job with a great title. But let's be real, those things will simply turn to dust. You want something that's going to last. It is the legacy of a spiritual shepherd. The legacy of a man that seeks to serve God, that seeks to preserve unity and seeks to demonstrate those things to his family and in God's church. What kind of a legacy are you going to leave? Now, my time's gone. But I want you to notice this. The nation of Israel served God throughout Joshua's life, and because of the authority, because of the influence of Joshua, Israel served God for many, many years to come. Not only did Joshua's authority have meaning while he was alive, but man, it had authority, it had power in the lives of future generations long after Joshua was dead and gone. Look in verse 31 here. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua. Well, fellas, that's great if our family serves the Lord while we're there. But how about when we've gone on to be with the Lord? Notice in the day what happened here in Joshua. And all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had known all the works of the Lord, which he had done before Israel. Men, you want your life to truly have meaning, then understand your role as a spiritual shepherd. That is a legacy worth leaving. We want to have a hymn of invitation. As Alex comes, Kathy comes, I want to ask everybody just to go ahead and stand. And I want to challenge the men of the church to carefully evaluate your heart as a spiritual shepherd. If there's something that needs to change, come to this altar. Fall on your face before the Lord and ask Him to help you change it. Maybe you're here this morning and your life has forever been touched or changed by a spiritual shepherd in your life. Whether that was your dad or uncle, a mentor in the church, let me just encourage you to come as well. And just take some time to thank Jesus for putting that spiritual shepherd in your life. whatever your need, God is not only ready, but He's willing and able to meet your need. How about it, men?